Maybe go on a retreat, or maybe ATS, or you know, maybe a seminar, or sometime when you get a revelation, an understanding of who God is in your life. It's, you know, kind of a hallmark thing, you know, like, wow, this happened, and, you know, all of a sudden you've had a whole new outlook on life. And the mountaintop experiences that we heard in our readings really did change the lives of those people involved, both of the readings from Genesis. We hear about Abram, would be Abraham eventually, and how God called him to become, well, a migrant. He was to leave his home and to travel to an unknown land. Now think about that. He's fat and happy where he is. And God calls him and said, no, pack up. You're going on a trip. And he complies. Now, if he fulfills this divine command, Abraham will be blessed with a great nation of his own people. And that Abraham himself would be a blessing to all nations. He answers this calling without knowing what he's going to run up against. You know, you can't even imagine. You know, it's not like, well, you hop in your car, you get on the freeway, where do you want me to go? Boom, you know, you just go, turn on your GPS, you're there. Well, not in Abraham's time. In Abraham's time, it was tough. You know, the roads were iffy, if there were roads at all. And he's traveling someplace that he doesn't know where he's going. I mean, he really doesn't. The Lord just basically, I'll let you know when you get there. What? You know? And yet, there he was. And the amazing thing is, he did it. He went and did as the Lord had commanded. And, you know, during this Lenten season, I think we can maybe get a little bit of encouragement as we travel on our Lenten journey. Sometimes we do things that maybe we start going to Mass every day, or maybe the Adoration Chapel, or some significant thing to improve your faith life. And you wonder, where is this going to lead me? How will this affect me or affect people around me? And yet, it's about trusting. Because you're guided by God when you're doing God's work. Well, obviously, most of us are not going to get that touch on the shoulder and said, here's what I want you to do. It doesn't work that way. It requires reflection and meditation, you know, to contemplate, you know, what God is calling each and every one of us to do. But there is a calling. There is. We have to trust that. And yet, sometimes, well, we just don't see it. And yet, when we pay attention, God reveals himself to us every day, or if we're paying attention. But unfortunately, most of us, well, we're busy traveling here and there and doing the things that we have to do. And I'm sorry, I haven't got time for that. You know, go on a retreat. No time. I've got no time for that. Acts? No, I'm too busy for that. And here's these opportunities. God's calling you to participate, to get involved, to get your ear to the ground, and maybe your ear to heaven as well, to understand what God is calling you to do. You know, Abraham is said to have been a blessing to others. And it reveals the power and influence of one individual. Think about that. Abram. You know, the father of all of them, both not only the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, but even Islam. You know, that they all track back to Abram. One person. Because he paid attention to God who was talking to him. In our gospel today, we hear about, well, another mountaintop experience. This really is on a mountaintop. Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus to the top of this mountain. Now, I don't know how many of you are mountain climbers. Of course, there's mountains, and then there's mountains, but if you climb even a small mountain, it's all uphill. You know, it's a climb. It's work. And when you finally get there, you're feeling like, okay, I need some time to sit back and take in this vista on the top of this mountain. And probably Peter, James, and John were into that, kind of relaxing a little bit. And all of a sudden, they look over, and here's Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And they're blown away because Jesus doesn't look like Jesus. I mean, his clothes are white as snow, and his face is, well, it's just amazing. And there he is talking to these two great figures of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Now, my question is, how'd they know? How'd they know who they were? And I thought, well, maybe Jesus was saying, well, Moses, what do you think about this? And Elijah, what do you think of? Yeah, who knows? But they knew. And Peter, of course, pipes up and says, Lord, if you will it, you know, we could build three tents here. We could have a little memorial of this great meeting. And, well, with that, the Father speaks up. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And man, they're boom, down on their faces. Of course, part of it was out of reverence and part of it was out of fear. They didn't want to see God because that was an instant death sentence. You can't see God or you'll die. And the next thing you know, Jesus is touching them, saying, get up, don't be afraid. And they look up and it's all back to normal again. It's amazing. I mean, it really is amazing. Peter, James, and John were witnesses to the transfiguration. This shared experience allows them to fully understand and realize God's presence in their lives. The transfiguration was a physical and spiritual transformation that screams of Jesus' significance to his followers and links them to the past and the future traditions. Physically, his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. It was a theophany, a physical manifestation of God. You know, we think about that happening on this mountaintop, and it parallels a similar experience of both Moses and Elijah. And you think, wow, maybe that's why Jesus climbed the mountain, because those guys are always hanging out on mountaintops, and this was his chance to see him. No, it was about something more than that. It was to tell us something about who Jesus is. Moses, as we recall, his face shone like the sun when he received those Ten Commandments. So there is that significant fact that was just what Jesus experienced. Peter, James, and John, well, they're leveled as they fall on their faces out of respect and great fear. But together they experienced a vision that connects Jesus to the Jewish law and the prophets. And it presents that to them through Moses and Elijah. And so we hear that connection. We heard that over the last couple of weeks, you know, that I'm not here to change the law, but to fulfill the law. And there it is. It is a significant appearance of this transfiguration. When Jesus appears also, because it also talks about the old, also talks about the new, you know, in terms of what would come. We think about Mary Magdalene, when Jesus appeared to her outside the tomb, and there he was, dressed in white, in his divine presence. She didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. And I thought to myself, how many times do you see gardeners in white outfits? Not so much. But be that as it may, she thought it was a gardener. Didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. God. Peter, James, and John. They were then given a command by Jesus, and he said, now don't reveal this vision to anybody until after the Son of Man rises from the dead. Now, what were they thinking? Now, that ain't going to happen, you know, so I guess we've got to keep this to ourselves, one way or the other. They couldn't even begin to understand what rising from the dead meant. You know, as we continue through Lent, today's readings allow us to reflect on an encounter with God, Abram's faithfulness to show us how to respond to God's call. Peter, James, and John almost leveled at the vision, but to remind us to prepare to encounter Christ at the resurrection on Easter. And that Abraham, Peter, James, and John had this mountaintop experience and led them to the wonderful and powerful presence of Jesus. As Lent continues, let's not give up, but instead give in to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this would be a beautiful way to celebrate this season of Lent.
Our profession of faith, I believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe.